Arnie, welcome back to another episode of Justify Your Existence. I am your host, Brendan Farrell. Today I am joined by Benjamin Rosenberg. Benjamin, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. I always appreciate it when you have time. You can follow myself on Twitter at bfarrell727. You can follow Benjamin on Twitter at bxrosenberg. Benjamin covers Mississippi State for the Commercial Dispatch. And so, Benjamin, how's that going?
It's going pretty well. We're getting ready for a new football season. Obviously, pretty much everything about the program is new this year with Jeff Lebby entering his first season as head coach, and 8 of the 10 assistants are new as well. Only Chad Bumpus, who's a wide receivers coach, and David Turner, who coaches the defensive line, are holdovers from last season. And on both offense and defense, pretty much every starter is going to be new as well. It's whether it's guys they added in the transfer portal or players who were on the team last year or the year before but didn't play a ton. So very different roster than we saw last season when they went 5-7 and missed a bowl game for the first time since 2009.
Yeah, on your end, I think it makes for kind of an interesting year because really there are just so many narratives that you can kind of choose from and watch for.
No, yeah, there definitely are. And obviously the first transfer that they brought in was Blake Shapen, the quarterback who was formerly at Baylor. He battled some injuries over his 4 years, 3 years really that he played, because he redshirted as a freshman over there for the Bears, but he had some solid seasons. I don't think the offense was always quite suited exactly to his skill set. I mean, Dave Aranda, who's Baylor's head coach, has a defensive background, but he looks like he could be a good fit here for with Jeff Lebby and what Mississippi State has building, because Lebby has run his version of sort of the veer and shoot offense at his last few stops as an offensive coordinator, and had a lot of success first at UCF, then for a couple of years at Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin, and then most recently at Oklahoma. So fans are pretty excited to see what he can bring to the table, even though he's only going to have 1 year with the Bulldogs. But he's pretty much locked in as the starter, because other than that, Chris Parson played in a couple of games last year, but other than that, no, none of the quarterbacks on this roster have any college experience.
Yeah, before we delve into some of the heavier, more detailed stuff, I want to keep things light for a second. I saw your photos of the food that will be served at the suites and premium seating areas at the stadium this year. How was that? Because photos I saw from you and other folks, it looked pretty good.
It was, yeah, no, that was a nice opportunity that they gave us with as members of the media yesterday. After the post practice interviews, we got to participate in a little food tasting with some of the options that are going to be served in the suites and club areas at Davis Wade Stadium this year. So yeah, they had a real big spread for us. We were up in one of the clubs, the club areas above the north end zone, in the stadium, and I was able to get a little story together today on that. So stay tuned. That should be out in the Commercial Dispatch tomorrow morning. And yeah, it was really nice. I don't think any journalist is gonna turn down free food. So really glad that they were able to let us participate.
I will say that's kind of what I've always heard is, you won't get paid well, but if you want free food, become a sports journalist.
That's true. Yeah, not always the healthiest stuff that they give us in the press boxes, but if it's a meal that I don't have to pay for, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, so Benjamin, I know you like moved here last year, like right as the season was starting. So, how is it this time around not being thrown directly into the deep end?
Yeah, it was a little tough last year because I literally started, the week leading up to the first game and was just figuring out moving and setting up my new apartment. So didn't really have any of the spring practice, the summer workouts, media days, fall camp, any of that. Just had to sort of figure out how things were going to work on that beat on the fly. And my first The first thing I covered was that first game last season against Southeastern Louisiana. This year, I mean, really, kind of everyone on the beat is in the same boat just because of how new everything is surrounding the program. New head coach, almost all new assistants, new players at pretty much every position group in the offense and the defense. They were working things out in the spring. It was fun to go to SEC Media Days a few weeks ago in Dallas and hear from Coach Levy as well as the players they brought there, Blake Chapin, Albert Reese, an offensive lineman, and linebacker John Lewis. And now we're getting, some kind of availability with either Coach Levy or the players just about every day during the fall camp. And we got to talk with all 10 of the assistant coaches last week, one after the other. A little annoying that we're not going to be able to talk with any of the assistant coaches throughout the season after that, but it is what it is, and it was nice to hear from them while we could. So, and good to just have a year of experience on the beat and not be going into it completely blind this time around.
Yeah, so I would say, how different are things so far for you?
The players certainly seem to think that they are different, at least the ones who've been around. And the two coaches who were on the staff last year, Chad Bumpus and David Turner, seem to think so too. We've heard a lot about how, last year players were kind of dreading going to practice and were just going through the motions, showing up when they had to, but maybe their heart wasn't always in it. And from what we're hearing, that's not the case this year. They're excited. They're enjoying the culture. They're having fun. Obviously, take all of that with a grain of salt because I'm sure every program is saying stuff like that this time of year now that we're, 3 to 4 weeks from game number one. But there does seem to be a little bit more positive energy just around the program than maybe there was a year ago.
Yeah, this time of year, everybody's a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger, somehow a little bit taller, a little bit faster. So especially when you have a new coaching staff rolling in, just like, there are always all these just lovely, everything is fine, vibes are at the highest they've been in forever, right? So, what all have you seen so far?
Yeah, right. I mean, you go to media days, you listen to all the coaches talk, and you're convinced every team is about to go 12-0, right? Which, obviously once the games start, you start to see that separation between the programs that are going to be set up for potential playoff success and going to a major bowl game, and the ones that are maybe going to have to fight tooth and nail to get to 6 wins. We've only really been able to observe practice a couple of times. It seems like the defense under new coordinator Coleman Hutzler probably going to run a base 3-3-5, which is what they had before under Zach Arnett as well. I know that Hutzler, when he was really only the co-defensive coordinator at Texas for 1 year. He's been a linebackers coach and special teams coordinator for most of his career at a bunch of schools, including several other stops in the SEC, Florida, South Carolina, most recently Alabama. I think we're gonna see three safeties regularly, like we saw last year. Certainly in the spring game back in April, we saw that the offense was definitely quite a ways ahead of the defense. They did get off to a little bit of a slow start, but then we saw Blake Chapin and the other quarterbacks really kind of sling the ball down the field. They've got a wide receivers room that added a couple big time transfers, Kelly Akari from Texas El Paso and Kevin Coleman from Louisville. Both of whom can really stretch the field and create explosive plays, and some freshmen in the wideouts room who they're really excited about. Braylon Burnside is from Starkville, Mario Craver, JJ Harrell. So, but of course, you see that kind of stuff in the spring game, and you're like, does it mean the offense is really good, or does it mean the defense, has a lot of work to do? And it's probably some of both, and they'll do that work here in the next few weeks before they open the season against Eastern Kentucky. But again, we're really not going to know a lot, really. I mean, that first game against an FCS opponent. I mean, if they struggle, then maybe it'll tell us quite a bit. But that second week at Arizona State could be an interesting matchup. And then, by the time they start SEC play in late September against Florida, then, we'll have a better sense for what this team is made of.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that last part because it seems like preseason, nobody really believes in State right now. I was looking at the preseason poll. They were ranked next to last, just above Vanderbilt, and that's not really saying anything. So, is that probably about where you would put them too?
I wasn't surprised, certainly, to see them there. I put them on my media ballot. I had them 13th out of 16. I think I had them above Arkansas and I believe South Carolina, as well as, of course, Vanderbilt. But it makes sense for them to be there just based on where they finished last year and the amount of turnover that took place on their roster and within the coaching staff. I do think, playing Arkansas at home is very winnable. That was the one SEC game they managed to win last year and it was on the road. Florida at home could be a winnable game for them. Texas A&M is going to be much improved, I think, even under a new head coach, but that's a team at home. If they can manage to steal that one, they'll be in a good position. The non-conference games, they're all winnable. Arizona State wasn't good last year. Toledo is a very good team out of the MAC, who could give them a battle. But there's a path to getting back to 6 wins in a bowl game. And I think with the new coaching staff who's brought some excitement to the group and around the program, and after last year, they would take 6 wins no matter where they come.
Yeah, it is interesting though that the two SEC games that you really mentioned that are probably the most winnable, Arkansas and Florida at home. You sort of figure that both of those coaches are going to be on the hot seat.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I feel like there are going to be a lot of bragging rights on the line and a whole lot of coaching buyouts that neither team is hoping to pay out on the line there.
Yeah, I mean, that last weekend in October when Arkansas comes to Davis-Wade Stadium, is Sam Pittman still the Razorbacks head coach by then? We don't know. I mean, and if it's not, is Bobby Petrino going to be the interim guy? I mean, wouldn't that be something? Yeah, they're really trying to save face any way they can, it looks like. But I know the buyout becomes a lot more friendly, or it actually might even be the last year of his contract. I'm not entirely sure, but there are definitely some boosters up there who were able to convince Arkansas's brain trust to keep Pittman around for at least for 1 more year. And Florida, I know Billy Napier has not worked out quite the way they had hoped down there in Gainesville, and with the schedule they've got, especially the back end of the season, I mean, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, my thing with State is just it's not that I think they're bad. I don't know where the wins come from on their schedule. Yeah, like I think they can take care of business. I mean, there's certainly a timeline where they take care of business out of conference. At Arizona State and home against Toledo are not the easiest matchups in the world. Like there are SEC teams that are going to play, some non-conference games that are going to be far more winnable than those, right? To me, it's just like I just don't when I look at the conference schedules. Like I just don't really know where the wins come from, right? But on the other hand, even if you're like, okay, well, even if State had like a minimum, like a 20% chance to win in all of their SEC games this year, you would still expect them to win at least one of those, right? But I also feel like those are some really low expectations too.
Yeah, I mean, them being ranked 15th out of 16 has less to do with them and more to do with just how good everyone else in the SEC is outside of Vanderbilt, I guess. Because even if in that tier of teams that are going to be trying to get to 6 wins, your South Carolinas, your Arkansas's, I think they're a cut below a Kentucky right now, or even a Florida. I mean, those teams. Those aren't bad football teams. None of them are bad football teams. They're just gonna have to run the gauntlet of teams like Georgia and Texas and Ole Miss and Tennessee and LSU. I mean, the road schedule, we talked about some of the home games that Mississippi State plays in SEC play and how those are winnable in theory. the road games, they didn't do the schedule makers did not do the Bulldogs any favors there. They go to Texas at the end of September. That'll be the Longhorns' first conference game as a member of the SEC. Then after a bye week, they go to Georgia, who's number one in a lot of the preseason polls, national championship favorite. Then they go to Tennessee in early to mid-November, and then they close the season with the Egg Bowl going to Ole Miss. All four of those seem like incredible long shots for Mississippi State to win, which leaves them with an uphill battle and trying to win as many of those home games as possible.
I think it's also just not necessarily like how really good the rest of the conference is. It's just like State just has so much work to do. Right. You look at an offense last year that finished 107th in points per game and 103rd in yards per game, and they lost pretty much everyone. That's just, I mean, it's just a lot to ask of anyone year one, let alone. Trying to field a totally new offense against the likes of Texas and Georgia, like early on, like that's not going to be the most fun thing in the world.
Yeah, I mean, well, the offense was definitely a tough watch last year, especially the second half of the season. They dealt with plenty of injuries, certainly. Will Rogers, Woody Marks. You mentioned that they have very little, if any, returning production on that offense. Well, if the offense struggled that much, maybe that's not such a bad thing. It's a lot of the guys. Maybe they haven't played a ton of snaps at Mississippi State, but Jeff Lebby keeps talking about, they've played meaningful football at other schools, especially the guys they got on the offensive line. They'll be starting three or four guys they got from the transfer portal. Mekhylen Pounders was left tackle last year at Memphis. Ethan Miner was one of the top centers in the country over at North Texas. Jacoby Jackson came over from Texas Tech, and they got Marlon Martinez, who was a big depth piece on the line at LSU. And then the receivers who I mentioned, Kevin Coleman and Kelly Akari, they were also able to add Devon Booth, running back who was at Utah State last year. So we could see seven, maybe even eight transfers starting on the offense the season in game number one, of course, including Blake Chapin at quarterback. So these guys have played, Division I college football before, but the issue then is, the chemistry, working together, trying to, make that become a cohesive unit in that time. And they don't have a lot of it. So we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I feel like there are going to be very few teams that are as thankful that they're playing an FCS team week one as State as they try to piece all this stuff together.
Yeah, and I think in that game, Jeff Lebby is really going to want to put on a show and, just show the fans what this new era and this new offense is all about. And if there's a chance, if they're ahead comfortably, there's a chance for him to run up the score in that game, he's going to take it. I mean, they're going to try to score. What did Ole Miss score in their opener last year? Was 73 points? Something like that.
Yeah, no, good old just beating up on Mercer.
Yeah, no, exactly.
What
If
it
Lebby
was,
has a chance to do that.
it was 70, yeah, 73 to 7.
Right. If State has the chance to do that against Eastern Kentucky, they're going to do it. I don't know. I mean, obviously, this offense, it's not the finished product or the sort of the well-oiled machine, honestly, that Ole Miss had for much of the season last year. But if they can put up 50 or 60 points, they're gonna want to light up that scoreboard as much as they can. And I mean that sort of just goes in with some of the slogans they've been using. Showtime, swag is state, score from far. I mean, just even when he came to the airport and he was making a little speech, he's like, talked about, we're going to be a football team that scores a bunch of points. So that's going to be his first chance to prove it. And if they're not able to score a bunch of points against Eastern Kentucky, then I think fans will start to see a lot of cause for concern.
Yeah, just overall with fall camp, is there anything? I don't know how much you guys will be able to see, but is there anything you're keeping an eye on with just preseason stuff specifically?
Yeah, I think the defensive rotation is a lot of it because I talked about the offense. They might be starting seven or eight transfers. The defense, really the one proven guy they got in the portal is Stone Blanton from South Carolina, middle linebacker. He's from Jackson and was once committed to Mississippi State to play baseball, chose South Carolina for football and started every game there last season. But beyond him, they lost the guys they lost to the NFL, obviously at linebacker, getting rid of the SEC's two leading tacklers, Boogie Watson and Jet Johnson, losing guys like DeCamrion Richardson, Sean Preston, Marcus Banks in the secondary, and Nathan Pickering, Jaden Crumedy, up front on the defensive line. That's a lot that you're going to be without, and are going to just sort of have to find ways to make up for that kind of production. And up front, whether it's going to be, DeMonte Russell, who's a veteran, or a guy like Trevion Williams, who's coming back from a season-ending injury. John Lewis was sort of the spokesperson for that defense at media days. He's, going to probably be one of the starting linebackers. He hasn't really proven himself across a large sample size so far. Same thing with guys like, Ty Cooper, Nick Mitchell, among those linebackers. And in the back end, Bryce Pollock, who's a promising sophomore corner, Kelly Jones, who we got to talk to today, also, flashing some potential over there at cornerback. You do have one returning starting safety with Corey Ellington, another guy, Hunter Washington, who kind of struggled last season in that role. He was on a lot of Malik Nabers' Heisman highlight film, same with the passes he was able to haul in from Jaden Daniels in the game last year with LSU. We'll just have to see who's getting those first team reps, who's getting the most playing time, because that's probably going to give us a good clue of who's going to be there when the games start to matter.
Yeah, you got a like an early preseason pick for someone you could who you think would be a pleasant surprise.
Pleasant surprise. I mentioned a lot of the guys on defense. Certainly Bryce Pollock at cornerback could be the next in line to follow in sort of that long line of shutdown corners that Mississippi State has produced and sent to the NFL, whether it's Martin Emerson and then Emmanuel Forbes and most recently DeCamrion Richardson. He's most likely to sort of follow in those footsteps. Showed some real potential as a true freshman a season ago. Up front on defense, if Trevion Williams can stay healthy and reach his potential, he could be a real game wrecker. The defense, I feel like there are no expectations essentially for this group, which can be a good thing. They're either gonna if they could. It could surprise some other teams, but certainly wouldn't be surprised. I've also just been talking about my game stories are going to have to be like 2 to 3,000 words long this year because I think they're going to score a lot of points and also going to give up a lot of points. So it's just going to be a lot of impact plays and scoring plays I'm going to have to describe. So maybe some of it's going to have to get cut out. We'll have to see.
Yeah, got to bring the Big 12 to the SEC, right? But I guess that's what Texas and Oklahoma are here for.
Right. It's also already been happening. Like even Alabama, under Nick Saban, they had this, tough defense, hard-nosed mentality for so long. And then, the spread offense was taken over and they were re reluctant at first. And then they, got beat by a couple teams and they were like, okay, let's hire Lane Kiffin as offensive coordinator. Let's go all in on this. And then, let's produce a bunch of, first round NFL talent at quarterback and win a few more national championships along the way. So, it's kind of already taken over.
Nice. And then so let me tell you like how low the bar is, I think, for anyone emerging from state is this year. I could be wrong, but a quick look through the all SEC team or all SEC teams, I should say. I did not see a single state player on any of the first, second, or third teams.
No, nobody. And that didn't come as a huge shock. Maybe an offensive lineman like Ethan Miner or Mykylen Pounders could have made it. But yeah, they just don't really have a lot of names who have really proven it. Not a lot of players on this roster are gonna jump out at the casual fan as, okay, this guy scares me. And I think that they're gonna be playing with a chip on their shoulder as a result of that. They're gonna, they're gonna have all the fuel and motivation they need, but at the end of the day, stars do matter. Talent does matter, and there is still, I think, at this point, a decent sized gap between them and the top and even middle tier programs of the conference. But they've been able to kind of punch above their weight in years past, and among and with previous coaching staffs, especially if you look at some of the early years under Dan Mullen, and even the teams they had with Mike Leach as well. So we'll have to see how things shake out.
I don't know. Is there anything else that you like kind of wanted to mention?
I don't think so. I think under the first year under any new head coach, I mean, last year was kind of a special case because you had Zach Arnett taking over under really tough circumstances with the death of Mike Leach. And he was pretty clearly in over his head from the get-go. You have to temper your expectations a little bit when you're dealing with so much that is new and different. And I think that most people in this fan base seem to understand that. But it's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to take a little bit of time for them to get back into, going to the bowl games regularly and being contending to get to those 8 and 9 win seasons that they were used to for much of the last decade. So this year, I mean, there's a path to six, but if they can get there, it would certainly be an accomplishment and a feather in the cap of Lebby and this new coaching staff.
I think you do kind of worry about, sort of the harsh realities of the new SEC for a school like Mississippi State, but you just never know, right? Anything can happen on Saturdays, right?
It's
So
good to be grandfathered in, right? I mean, coming from my alma mater to a place like Northwestern, I mean, it's good to just be in one of the big conferences at the beginning, because if you're not there, then you're not going to really be desired.
yeah, no, you don't want to be the one left without a dance partner.
No, yeah, and I feel for Oregon State and Washington State, but that's a conversation for another time.
Oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I will give you this opportunity, if you just want to plug anything that you want to plug.
Sure. I mean, you can find my work. I've been reviewing every position group on the roster for the last couple of weeks, and now going to have a story out of fall camp most days on the Commercial Dispatch website, cdispatch.com. A lot of it I know gets picked up as well by the Daily Journal. And then you can find me on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days. It's at BX Rosenberg. And you can email me at brosenberg@cdispatch.com.
Great. And you can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. I write for the Daily Journal. You can see all of our coverage at djournal.com. You can follow us on social at djournalsports. Benjamin, thanks again for joining me. I always appreciate when you can, sacrifice some of your time to be on here with me. So I really do appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a good one.